Let's go right into our weekly confession here. Let's read this together. Let's declare this together. Amen. Let's promulgate. Ready? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Every time you open your Bible, the seed of God is being planted in you. You know, Jesus was a seed of Abraham. And he said, just before he went to the cross in John chapter 12, he said, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He was talking about himself, that soon, in a few days, he would be planted in the earth. And turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And I want to approach, we are talking about our identity in Christ, that we are not who we were, but we've left. Praise God. There's nothing in your spirit man that even resembles the old you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, there was a big but there. And he took the devil and all of his, I'm trying to think of an adjective that can describe it, but I can't. All of his stuff, and he went, boom, just out of here. You are a new creation in Christ. More specifically, I want to approach our identification from the standpoint of joy. Everything God speaks to us brings joy. When you understand his word, it brings joy. You know, in John chapter 15, verse 11, says this. Jesus said, well, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy, see, he speaks to you so that his joy might be in you, remain in you, and that your joy be full. When he speaks to you, it's to remain in you. Not to be taken away by circumstances, not to be taken away by what happens, bad things. You know, this joy doesn't come and go according to the world events that you face in your life. It's there all the time, and it's there for a purpose. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And if the devil can wound you and take that joy away from you, he has got a major victory on his half. But if you say, nope, it's my joy. It's his joy in me, and it's not leaving. Amen? So everything the Lord speaks to us should bring forth joy in our life. So when I say we're activating, we're really yielding to the joy that is already in our heart. You know, we've done studies before here showing that in Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, in context, he's talking about the work of the flesh does this, the fruit of the Spirit is this. He's talking about the fruit of the recreated human spirit. You don't have to pray for patience. It's in you. You yield to patience. You let it come forth. You give it, you open the door and say, patience, go to work for me. Love, these are ugly people, but they give me every reason to hate them. But I choose to love. I yield to the love of God. You know, the devil tries to steal your joy by doing this. Oh, I heard this person said this about me. You know what? Don't bite the bait. That hook is strong, and it's hard to get rid of once you bite into it. But you're totally deliverable because that joy remains in you, and that joy can be full. That's why he spoke his word to you. He also said in the Last Supper, too, he says, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. The word has cleansing power. That's because the blood of Jesus is in his word. Did you know that? For those of you who weren't at Good Friday, service, we brought this out too, because this is part of our identity as well. When Gabriel spoke to Mary, he told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, overshadow you, whatever, and you shall conceive the Son of God, and his name will be, right? And she said, be it unto me according. So right there, Jesus was formed, was planted in her womb. The Son of God was conceived. And we know that that's the blood of the Father in the Son, right? How did it get there? Through the word that Gabriel spoke to her. It's in the word. The blood is in the word. The power of God, the power of that blood is in the word, empowering everything you say when you declare it. That's why the devil hates the Bible so much, because the blood is in it. Ooh, praise God. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy be full. Amen. Now, if you're not filled with joy today, I'll say you've done something wrong. You know, it says this. If our heart condemn us, it says he is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Look, when he made you accepted in the beloved, he said something. It's in covenant. That's in this book that is forever stamped him to. He made you accepted in the beloved. There's nothing you can do to get out of that. There's ways to get out of it if you really want to, but I don't want out, do you? Okay. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? I said, why is it even a question? Do you want out? Take that stuff out of play. So we're going to be yielding to the fruit of joy this morning. I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I got joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy. So, are you at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 yet? Okay, good. That's where we want to go. Therefore, if any man, underline any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is simple stuff. But it doesn't always look that way. It takes a while for a new believer or even mature believers to come up out of their attitudes and come out of their misconceptions of a lot of stuff. Because, look, for some of you, this will just be review, what I'm talking about today. And that's good, because there's power in review. How much, you know, Peter said, I stir you up by way of remembrance, putting you in remembrance. And there's new revelation. Why? Because there's new layers to this onion all the time, and it's endless. It's an endless onion. If I was going to open up a salad bar, that's what I'd call it. The endless onion. Because that reminds me of who, you know, Jesus, you can't get to the bottom layer of him. There is none. You get to that and it just opens up a whole new onion. So, but that's good. So don't think that you know this, because there's another layer happening here. And some of you, this is going to be new to you. It's going to be unfamiliar waters to you. But just relax, because we'll get the tugboat out and get you into the slip where you belong and where you can enjoy God and he can enjoy you with brand new understanding of this whole thing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we're not talking about being in church, attending church, or going to small group. We're talking about being in Christ. This is down who you are. This is your identity. You are in Christ. The word identity really means, I give you seven different definitions. It means to make identical. It means to consider or treat as one and the same. This is what identify means. One and the same. It actually, one dictionary says sameness. That identify means sameness. In other words, if you're hanging around in a gang, one of them commits a crime, you're just as guilty. You're the same criminal as they are by guilt of association, so forth. Same identical, the same identical life. Refers to your identity or to identify, that is to put oneself in another's place to share their feelings or problems. Identify. You know, I can identify with your problem. I can identify with your grief. I can identify with that. Right? So share their feelings. Identical as identical twins. Like one translation of this 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we were made twins with Jesus. You know, that's actually right. That's absolutely correct. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. Nothing less. It's His Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. Or you could say that God did in Christ what He wanted to do in every person. Or you could say, He wanted to do this in every person. That's what He did in Christ. Every man, woman, and child, every human, a new kind of human. God put in Christ what He wanted to put in every man. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you could put it this way. God treats us the same way He treats Jesus. So the best way to know who Jesus is to read the Gospels. Start imitating Him. Paul said that in Ephesians 5:1. He said, be ye imitators of God as dear children. Imitate Him. Act like Him. Pretty plain. This is what would be called Paul's revelation, the new creation. So Paul described what happened when you made Jesus the Lord of your life. You know, Brother Hagin taught us what the Bible said about those who believe. And he brought out the scripture of who we are in Christ. How many of you gone into the lobby and you see a little blue book there called In Him? Did you take it and did you read it? I read that thing about 20 times before it really started opening up to me and I started to see. And he taught faith, and I still got. If you've ever listened to him, I still got. We've got how many? We got a lot of his old cassette tapes. Remember those? And you try to grab like five of them and squeeze right out of your hand. Those days are gone. We got those flat CDs, and now we've got a jump drive. We got all kinds of technology, and a lot of it they're just giving away free. So there's a saying we got to develop. If it's free, then there's no excuse. All it costs you is time to listen to it. And if you spend time that, God will redeem that to you too. Amen. Where am I in this? But he taught faith. And when you get the revelation of faith, you get the revelation of the authority of the believer, and it is absolutely phenomenal. How many of you ever heard him, Brother Hagin? Heard, maybe not live, but in person. But there was just nobody like him. He had an anointing. I mean, if you had Jesus visit you 9 times, or 10 times, however much it was, and talk with you for a couple of hours about stuff, you know, you would carry that out. Well, the more you spend in here, you carry that out into you, that presence, into the world where you go. And it's a presence that stays with you. It's called the anointing. It's the presence of God. It's the ability of God to do supernatural things that you couldn't do. I could not do what I am doing right now before I was born again. And in fact, I couldn't even do it before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and even a long time after that, because I was so introverted, I could not even look a person in the eye and have a full conversation with them. So if you look at me and they say, it would have to be the Lord. Yeah. That's what people are saying to you. Well, I knew them when, so that has to be the Lord. That has to be a miracle. Thank you. That's my God. So when you read the Gospels, and we've been through this before, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are looking at what God did, or what happened to Jesus, right? We are looking about Jesus walking on the earth. We see the miracles. We see all of that. But then at the cross, we see what happened to Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But it doesn't tell us why. God reserved that for one man to tell, and that was the Apostle Paul. I love what James Stalker, P.C. Nelson, these guys wrote about, that the words of Paul, the letters of Paul, are really the thoughts that Jesus carried away from the earth with himself, unuttered. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Those things he wrapped up, and we have the gospel of Christ. The Paul's of letters is the gospel post-resurrection. Nobody would have understood these things before Jesus died and rose from the dead. So we have new understanding. When we look back to the cross, when we look back to the whipping post, Peter said, by whose stripes we were healed. I mean, he got it. A lot of things were done at the cross that could not have been done any other way. The gospel shows us what man saw. The letters of Paul show us what God saw. What the devil saw. Whatever, when God raised him from the dead and the power that was released, that power went all the way back to Adam and all the way to the last person. It's the power of God was released that destroyed the demonic realm, spoiled them. And that word spoil is not spoiled like eggs, rotten eggs or something. It means spoil means to strip him of everything he had. He has no more power. This is why I am so bold when I say the things I say. He has no power other than deception. That is his main thing. And he works to twist words and twist understandings and twist. When you hear something, you know, I can be talking to you and your mind filters it way according to your own understanding. And if the devil, when you were young, put in some mindsets in you, then you could filter this thing, these things that I'm saying the wrong way even. I'm hoping it's unfiltered. You guys unfiltered? Yes. Say this, my mind belongs to me, not the devil. I sanctify my mind to think God's thoughts, to reason the way God does. I have the wisdom of God in me, which is the ability to use that knowledge the right way. Amen. Christ has made unto us wisdom, it says. All right. Let's see where we want to go with this. Let's turn to Galatians 2:20. And while you're there, I just want to keep your finger there and go to 2 Corinthians 12, 2. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, Paul called himself a man in Christ. Right? Okay. He says, I know a man in Christ. What does it say? He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. So he's talking about himself. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. So Paul was caught up to the third heaven, to the throne of God, and many things were revealed. And this happened 14 years before he wrote this in 2 Corinthians. But notice where it says, a man in Christ. A man in Christ. whatever is true about a man in Christ is true about any man in Christ. This is according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, where he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? Old things are passed away, all things are become new. So we know Paul was talking about himself, a man in Christ. So it's not just Paul's testimony. This is the testimony of every believer that ever believed in Jesus and received Jesus as Lord, that they are a new creation in Christ. This is your identity. This is what you have got to let that anvil sink down into your spirit and know, above all anything else that goes on in my life, I know this, that Jesus dwells in me. I am a new creation in Christ, that I am in him and he is in me. I can face anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notice the word which. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not who strengthens me. Which strength? Through Christ, the anointing. I can do all things through the anointing. And the more I do through the anointing, the stronger in the anointing I get. And the more power. This is the way God designed us to be recipients of his spirit and the anointing of his spirit and that presence. This is what we need to identify. This is what Paul said. This is my identity. This is my, if you have a driver's license, it has your height, your weight, unfortunately. It has the color of your hair, the color of your eyes. It has your name, your address, all kinds of information. But that tells what's out here. It doesn't define who you are. But they accept that as your identification because that's all they relate to, is the outer part of you. God goes way deeper than that. He goes way, there's a spirit inside of you that God put there. There's a spirit inside of you that you need to identify with more than what you identify with your name and your address and everything that the world looks at you as. No, you be God conscious. Practice the presence of God in your life. And your identity will come floating to in every situation and everything you face, that identity will come screaming to the surface and say, no, no, no. You are this. You are this. You are this. So when a little sickness comes up in your body, or a little depression comes along, or a little poverty, you can say, no, no, no. We talked about this in communion. That's illegal. That's illegal. It does not belong to you. Cannot, you are an illegal alien in my body. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 3, it says this, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't condemn us. He condemned sin in the flesh. If I ever looked at cancer, I can tell you that's sin in the flesh. That might be a stretch here, but it's there. And that cancer or that depression or that deception or whatever, that has been condemned in the highest court in existence. Bam, the gavel went down. You are condemned. It has no legal right to be in your body, to even be in your presence. It has no right. They shall come near me, but they shall fall at my side. Amen. 1,000 shall fall at my and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. It has been condemned. Now, when Jesus rose, justice was done. It was done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Boom. You're free. And he took all of the authority that he got through his resurrection. And he took that, all of the authority, and gave it back to us. So that whatever Adam lost, we got back and more. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. I think it's Romans chapter 6. No. 5:20. It says in the King James, it says, where sin did abound, grace much more abounded, or did much more abound. What does that mean? That's what the Pharisee would say. Oh, so we should sin that grace would abound, you know? And Paul said, God forbid, because, hi, Leela, how can we do what we've died to? Lovett's translation puts it another way. He says this. Knowing this, that our, I'm sorry, he said concerning that, that what God's work in Christ, Adam's fall caused a great deal of damage. Don't get me wrong. All right, sin causes damage. But it says here, but God's work in Christ far exceeds any damage done to us by Adam's sin. When Jesus raised from the dead, that power went all the way back and undid everything Satan did to mankind ever since from Adam on. And when you receive Jesus, you walk right into that. You get that? You should be doing backflips on that seat. If you understand this and really get it, this is what Jesus did far exceeds the grace, far exceeds anything that the devil did in Adam. I mean, if little weak little devil did all of this stuff, how much more God and his grace and his power through the blood of Jesus settled everything at the cross, rose from the dead, put a... That explosion of power when Jesus rose from the dead was the greatest exhibition of God's power ever. More than the creation of the universe, more than that. And if the universe is still being created at the speed of light, then there's no end to what you can be. There's no end to the creativity, to the ability that is in you. There is no end to the understanding of the power of the Word of God in your life. And how the revelation comes, and that revelation is your fuel tank. You don't have a commitment problem. You have a revelation problem. I don't know about you, but I do my recommitting every Sunday. By Wednesday, it was broke. Didn't work. I didn't have a commitment problem. I had a revelation problem. Once you figure out and you stay in that word until things start getting revealed to you, the way the Holy Spirit was sent to, you know, everything that here's the Holy Spirit's job. Yeah, guide you into all truth. But the Holy Spirit's job, if you study the Holy Spirit, and I've studied the scriptures, and there's so much more to it than this, but let me just simplify it, because the Holy Spirit's job is to take everything that Jesus did for us and translate it into power for you, into victory for you, into strength for you, into healing for you. Everything that Jesus did, the Holy Spirit takes and translates that into your personal victory. He says, I give you the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. What a gift. Listen to him. Don't get up there before God and just say, well, God, if you knew what really happened to me, you know, you'd know why I am the way I am. I hope you never pray a prayer. Don't go to God with that kind of prayer. You ever hear somebody? Here it is. They tell you all their problems. Every time you call, it's like, I cannot do this. I cannot do that. I have this going on. I have that. It's I. And they're the biggest problem of it all is they're the problem. Think about that for 5 minutes. What does Romans 8:11 say? Let's go to Romans 8:11. Yeah. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. This is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the, remember, the sameness. This is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He didn't just flick off a piece of him. Whoa. A lot of people just think this way. Well, I didn't get all of it. I couldn't have gotten all of the Holy Spirit. Why would, if he gave you Jesus, and Jesus went through all of that, why wouldn't he give you all of the Holy Spirit? He gave you all of Jesus and everything he was and everything he did. He just put it down and he gave it for you. Everything Jesus did, he did for you. When the Apostle Paul got his revelation, it wasn't for the Apostle Paul. It was for you. It was for the church. It was for us. Paul's revelation and Paul's letters and Paul's insights and Paul, the power he walked in as an apostle, that was done for us. He did all of that for us, for the church. He was totally committed. And the only reason, the only way I can figure out how Paul went through everything he went through, doing what he did and just took it on the chin and kept on going, is just an incredible, overwhelming, superhuman love for Jesus. He just was filled with it. And he was the one who wrote out that the love of God has been poured out into your spirit by the Holy Ghost who's given to us. And that Holy Ghost, that same Spirit, was sent to take everything Jesus did for you and translate it into your personal victory. To lead you and guide you into all truth, to show you things to come, to be there with you, to tell you, to convince. He convinces the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but that he does it in a different way to us as believers, as children of God. He convinces us of sin that in our life that we may not have been, there's sins of omission that we're not aware of, and there's also sins of commission. But if there's anything that he says that doesn't please the Father, he's there to tell us about it. He's also there to convince us of the fact that we have been made righteous. Sin, righteousness, and just that you are righteous. Go to the Father now and confess it. Go to the Father now and tell him who you are. Confess it. Make your confession before God. Say, Lord, I'm your son. I said that one time. I was in a fix. I said, Lord, I'm your son. They're not. Boom, I felt something go from here all the way down to my toes. It was powerful. Do we deserve this? Absolutely not. In and of myself, I am totally unqualified. And God hasn't anybody, Andrew Womack says this a lot too. He says, God hasn't ever had anybody qualified to work for him. But the word is the same to you as it is to anybody. And you take that word, and if the devil is bashing you, sliming you, rip-roaring accusations and everything, and you are dragged into court, Jesus is your defense attorney. He's standing over there. Over here is the Father, and he's the judge on your side. And Jesus is saying, he's holding up the same word, and he's saying, just say this. Just say this. And when you do, you are coming into agreement with the court. You're coming into agreement with God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. This is what I identify with. I identify with a God who's a God of grace, a God of power. You are his workmanship, created in Christ. That's your, that is your identification in any problem. I am the workmanship of God in Christ unto the wonderful things that he's called me to do. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm glad I came. Because I get edified just talking about this. So Galatians 2:20, what does it say? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus lives in me. Say that. Jesus lives in me. He's alive in me. My faith is alive. I identify with who I am in Christ. That is my identity. Sometimes you just have to take the Bible out and say, Mr. Devil, I don't know if you can read, but if you can, read this. Yes. By whose stripes I was healed. I am more than a conqueror. I have his joy. It remains in me, and my joy is full. I am strong. I have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and I'm about ready to unlock some power on you that you're familiar with. When Jesus kicked your head in, you are still shaking from that blow, quivering from that blow. You don't even have to say that. He's gone by that time. That's how we cast out demons. You know, people have this, I have this deliverance ministry. Really? Where do you find that in the Bible? No, they preached the gospel. When they came in touch, in contact with some demon, they just cast it out. But their emphasis was not on deliverance, but their emphasis was on preaching the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And it is the revelation of the righteousness of God. And the devil doesn't want any part of that, because his righteousness is your righteousness. That is a legal declaration that has been proclaimed, and it is a promulgation of the truth. It's been promulgated. Hallelujah. God put all things to your account as if you were there, as if you died with Christ, as if you rose from the dead with him. Because it says this. Let's just go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, Stephen, 4, 5, and 6. And we'll close with this. But God, who is rich in mercy. God is rich in a lot of things. And if he wasn't rich, you're glad he's rich in mercy. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. How many of you are glad that he loves you? I mean, there are people who don't even know what love is, how to love one another, how to really love or whatever. There's people all over the world like that, and they will leave this earth never knowing what life is about. That's tragic. But God, was for his great love, wherein his love, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ and made us, for by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. In the mind of God, you are raised up and seated with Jesus in heavenly places. That's your seat of authority. When you speak in this earth, you're speaking from that seat of authority that he gave you, that blood backed, that the angels adhere to. They fight for you. The blood is there. The Holy Spirit empowers you. Chill. I want to dance before the Lord. I want to shout. Praise him some more. I want to sing. Sing to the Lord. I want to praise the Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to finish that song. I got the chorus down. That's where you are. And then when he says this in verse 6, he has made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then you can go right back to verse 21 in the previous verse and say, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And has given him to be head over all things to me, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. We're going to get into that identity next week. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Did you get anything out of that this morning? Praise God. We've got a good God. He's got a plan. No matter where you're at, he's got an answer to every problem there is. He's got a solution to every shortage you ever had. There is no lack in him. If he's your God, you may be experiencing some things, but hey, he'll be there. So did you enjoy the boat ride into the slip today? God's good. You got to relax, you know. But life is more than a dream. Life is a gift. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful worship we had today. We thank you, Father, for the times of prayer. And now, Father, we look forward to times of fellowship as we enjoy a wonderful meal together. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we think of each other this week, when you put people on our heart, Lord, prompt us how to pray for them, how to lift them up so they can feel your arms around them when they need it, when they know that their God, who identified with them in their worst of times, has invited us to identify with him in the glory and the power of his Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I hear a dinner bell going on. Praise God. You are dismissed.